With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Ya lo hace. Pierna derecha, directo al arco. ¡Golazo!
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Thursday, February 13th, 2020, one day before Valentine's. So get your chocolate, your hearts, your gifts, or your presents, and maybe just cooking a good meal ready for tomorrow. But how you doing, Dwayne, today?
I'm well. Jewelry always works too if you really wanna suck it up. I got
sure,
a nice
but like,
Valentine's gift this year.
You got a nice one? Okay, what is it?
Yeah, I got close, but I don't normally get Valentine's gifts because it's normally a one-sided holiday. But we can't say that too loud. But I got a nice gift this year, so that's good.
Very nice, very nice. This was the Valentine's Day edition of Soccer Today. Let's move on. But speaking of Valentine's Day, one love story is about to begin in Miami. Rodolfo Pizarro is official now. It's our lead story for today. I guess kind of official. We're waiting for words on Miami, but all sources and all signs point to Rodolfo Pizarro from Monterrey, but famously from Guadalajara, Chivas team in 2018 when they won the CONCACAF Champions League, is now almost for sure a player of Miami. I refrain from seeing Inter because I do not want to get sued. We'll talk about that lawsuit eventually too when it gets resolved. But Miami getting their man, and Miami might be good in 2020.
And Chicago once again not getting someone that they've been linked to.
That's four in a row.
Yeah,
I guess it's Drogba.
Story. Yeah, it's what's happening up there in land. Nothing. They did a bad rebrand and they're moving to Soldier Field, where we'll see how many people they get. But to get back to Miami, it's interesting to me. Obviously, this speaks to the Hispanic nature of that market, although it's more Cuban than Mexican. But nonetheless, certainly there would be an affinity to that. And like any, it also speaks to the trends of Major League Soccer right now. Get yourself a Mexican. A Mexican for you. A Mexican for you. A Mexican for you. It kind of seems like. So they're not bucking the trend there, but it's interesting to me because we all assumed when Miami was named, 203 years ago, that their approach would be very big name Euro, because of the Beckham combination, right? They're a sizzle market. If you think of the big three and the Heat many years ago now, and that kind of image of Miami maintains that they require the big superstars to get out and be part of it. And certainly if you look at the attendance of other Miami sports teams over the years, they tend to like the sizzle more than the grind. And it's
a soccer example, Dwayne, if you go back to the early 2000s in the Miami Fusion, the Rivaldo era, right? Well, I think it was Rivaldo playing for a Miami Fusion. So, no, you do have that the history, too. But I agree, this is a signing that has a lot more meat to it than sizzle. It's for the steak, and this is going to bring a lot of fans to the stadium, and especially a lot of goals, I think.
Yeah, look, he is a player that's on the cusp of the national team setup, I think, but certainly still very talented and young enough that he can still grow and contribute a great deal in here. They've triggered the buyout clause. I think he still has aspirations to get to Europe, so there'll be some motivation there. I think it's a savvy and a good signing for them, and it's better than signing in just an old Euro. I mean, they're still linked to some old Euros. I don't know how much that's true, but we've heard David Silva Hell, we've heard Sergio Aguero, and if they sign both of those, I'm going to have some trouble not liking sure. that team a little bit.
going to have some trouble not buying a pink Miami kit.
Yeah, exactly. Not going to lie, that would be something I'd enjoy seeing. But this speaks to that, and their overall build speaks to this. They're bucking what we thought, and I think it's a smart build. I think both of these are a smart build. We have problems with both of them off the field, I think. In terms of, the stadium situation in Miami not being that resolved and the stadium situation in Nashville being absolutely not resolved. We'll be talking to Drake tomorrow about that, Drake Hill from the Tennessean tomorrow.
Yeah.
But their builds are interesting because they seem to have both been, like, Miami focused early on getting some young talent there to sort of grow around and build up from there. And I think Nashville, you're looking at their build, they're trying to get a spine so that they're solid. And that's a smart way to build as opposed to, whatever the hell Cincinnati was doing, which I don't know if they knew what they were doing. Clearly they didn't.
Do they know now? That's the other question. Maybe. But no, yeah, when you look at Cincinnati and the Fernando Adi situation, I think really sums up really nicely the first 18 months of existence, at least the first year in MLS and the 6 months before of FC Miami, FC Cincinnati. But speaking of Miami and Rodolfo Pizarro and his importance to this club, if it I imagine it'll get announced later today. That feels like it's going to be the case. But I think there's a lot of interesting in that story too, and it has nothing to do with Miami, but Rodolfo Pizarro as a player is history, and when he was part of the Chivas club with Matias Almeida and that run to the CCL final, but especially before that with the player strike. Remember, Dwayne, when the players stopped playing, he was involved in that. He was one of the players that stopped playing, and there's a lot of chatter behind the scenes, and you have to take it with a grain of salt. I know you cannot believe everything you hear on the interwebs. Us, yes, but not everything else, okay? So when you're looking at the situation, there seemed to be, like, a lot behind the scenes. He was touted to go to Europe after leaving, like, after the 2018 season with Chivas, after winning the CCL. But, no, there was a gentleman's agreement behind the scenes, apparently, for him to go to Monterrey, and it's all related to that story, and that's why Matias Almeida got fired, too, because Almeida was the one who paid the players when there was the strike. They couldn't get paid, and Almeida didn't believe that it was a good thing. He wanted to pay, so there's a lot behind the scenes in the Chivas Guadalajara from 2016 to 2018 timeline and Rodolfo Pizarro. So I'm interested to see what comes out of it too, because once he's out of Mexico and someone's going to ask him questions about this timeline, we might know more. But yeah, there's a lot of fascinating tidbit of how things work behind the scenes in Mexico, which is sometimes different than what we're used to here. So I just think it's an interesting angle to this story, and I suggest our listeners, if you want to know more, to Google the situation, look into it. I'm sure there's going to be books written about that timeline in Chivas and the result and ramifications for the club itself and how it was one of the biggest moments in their history and how quickly they have come down also. No, so it's a fascinating signing for Miami, and also the history of this player and the timeline of him with Chivas and the corruption allegation behind the scenes for his transfer. So, no, a lot of a fascinating, almost James Bond novel type of situation when you look about it. It's great. It's great. In a bad way, it's great.
Yeah, look, I mean, gentlemen's agreement is something that's synonymous with Mexican football. And to me, there's a cartel, for lack of a better way to put it, of owners will decide where players go. And that's just the way it is down there.
And no offense, allegedly, like the your choice of word for cartel could be figuratively and sometimes literally also. So
yeah, it's a good word. Up here in Toronto, but yeah, that's called a spade a spade. There's very significant allegations of association. But nonetheless, to me, this is something that really is a threat to Mexico's position in North America more than almost anything else, is that kind of conditions. Because as MLS gets closer to Liga MX, when you're looking at salaries and you're looking at, benefits and things like that, as they get closer, they don't necessarily have to surpass it before these Mexican players start to go, you know what, that's better. It's better for my family. It's better for everything in my life. And you're seeing that now. And I think that more than anything else, MLS does – what Liga MX is not doing, which is respecting those player movement rights, respecting their players as more than just pogs that they move around. That's what can ultimately topple the power balance here more than anything else. And it is, as you say, a significant sort of situation to look at and to look out for. Tom Marshall wrote an article a few weeks back talking about the sort of this movement of Mexican players to MLS over Liga MX. And I think this is only going to continue. And it's, you know, we joke about how MLS is a copycat league, like most North American sports leagues. So once one team starts to sign Mexicans, you're going to have them all jumping in trying to get their Mexican. And this is another case of it. But there is something there that's underlying that. And that, to me, is this exact thing. Like, if Mexico doesn't smarten itself up and become more of a free market, move away from these old traditional ways, then they might lose their place. And I'm not sure their fans are going to be that accepting of that. Their fans, you know, they do not like to lose to Major League Soccer or the United States in many things. It's, I equate it to, like, as a Canadian, we watch our hockey teams play each other. And as a Canadian, we don't want to ever lose to them because, God, they're not taking that too, is kind of what it comes down to, right?
But it's
this is one thing we have over them. We're not going to lose it to them as well. Because they're rich, their wealth and their size is just powers anything they want. There's a jealousy to that, but there's also, you know, there's something to the pride that comes into play.
And dial to 12 too. Like, it's that passion to a level that you can not explain or believe unless you actually experienced it. Yeah, going to a soccer game in Mexico in a filled stadium is an experience that I wish everyone could have. And this time of year, every year since 2015, I look back at my journey at Estadio Azteca, and I'm like, wow, I can't believe I experienced that once in my life. It's almost 5 years now to the day, actually a few months before. Next week, the CCL starts doing, and we'll obviously talk a lot about the CCL next week, starting Monday with Charles Bohm joining us to talk about CCL. Before we take a break and move on to Champions League preview, but on the European side, because that starts again also, I want to talk to you about a little story coming out of Kansas City. And you're going to say, oh, Kevin, you're going to talk about healthcare a little bit. Yeah, but not really about healthcare. I'm talking about stadium naming rights sponsorship. And it's interesting here. And I'm just going to read an article that's from the KSHB.com, a local news outlet out of Kansas City, Missouri. And yes, there's two. There's Kansas City, Kansas. So we can maybe do a geography class for President Trump right here. So there's a Kansas City, Missouri, and there's a Kansas City, Kansas. And I guess there's a rivalry here, I guess, too. But here's the story, Dwayne. Kansas City, Missouri is where Children's Mercy Hospital is, and Kansas City, Kansas is where the stadium, Children's Mercy Hospital Stadium, is where Kansas City plays. So here you go. When Kansas City, Missouri's proposed 2020-21 budget is unveiled Thursday, at least one organization will receive $500,000 less than previous years in funding. And that organization, Dwayne, is Children's Mercy Hospital in Missouri, because they spend $500,000 a year on a naming right for a stadium in Kansas City, Kansas. And the board of sponsors who give money to the hospital and the funding from the city do believe that, well, you spend $500,000 on a stadium naming right, maybe you don't need that $500,000 from us. We don't want to pay that stadium right. It's not even here. It's not beneficial for us. But I think it's an interesting concept here. That we're seeing a hospital, first of all, spending money on naming rights. It's something that I still don't truly understand. It's not like a single, there's a lot of healthcare, hospitals, profit entities, like private businesses in the States that are sponsoring big sports companies. I'm talking about Kaiser Permanente, if you're talking, looking at the Bay Area and that part of the West Coast, and it's big. United Healthcare, if you're looking at the Northeast, and there's a lot more than that. And there's Children's Mercy Hospital here for stadium naming rights. And it just got me thinking about the importance or the lack of importance of a hospital spending money on naming rights, on teams, on sponsors, instead of keeping that money in the bank and use it on their patients. I don't know. Maybe it's the Canadian in me. I just thought it was an interesting thought experiment.
Yeah, it probably is the non-American in you is what we'll say, because we, outside of that market, that healthcare system they have, can't comprehend it. And I don't want to get, well, I'll be political about this. It's appalling to me that they have to pay for healthcare in the way that they do, but I'm not American, so it's not my choice. And it's appalling to a lot of Americans, I think, too. But nonetheless, putting that aside, there's a marketing budget to hospitals. I can't comprehend, SickKids is the name of the children's hospital in Toronto. I can't comprehend, BMO dropping its rights and it becoming SickKids Stadium. That just wouldn't happen because our systems are dealt with a little differently. And I get why, if you're down there, you might be a little upset with this spending. You might sort of call it into question. Why are you spending $500,000 a year on a soccer stadium? Like, what is that about? Now, I suspect from a business perspective, there's different revenue streams in different areas, right? So they're not necessarily taking, little Johnny's heart surgery away to sponsor the stadium. But
I hope not, at least.
Yeah.
Poor optics Johnny. Are what they are. Oh, now. Johnny. Poor Johnny. Hope you're feeling better.
Yeah, exactly. Poor Johnny. But yeah, it's go ahead.
I was going to say, I think it's a good thought experiment. And I'm here, like, full disclosure, I live in Montreal, Dwayne lives in Toronto. We do not have the same environment that the people in Kansas City. So anyone listening to this in Kansas City, in the area, or feeling compelled to comment on what I just said, please let me know. I'm asking you, what do you think about this whole situation of, first of all, having a hospital naming a stadium, and maybe the funders of that hospital realizing that they're spending that money not in the best way and taking away that same amount of money? There's no coincidences here, and it's a great article, first of all, that you can read on kshb.com, and, of course, that you can look for more info on that situation. Let me know on social media at Kev Larmé, and you want to give me a long-form answer, please do so, sportspodcastingnetwork.com. Dwayne, it's time to take a break, say thank you to our sponsors, and we'll come back after the break to talk about the European Champions League that is coming back also. Very quickly.
You are listening to Soccer Today. Follow us on Twitter at Soccer Today SPN and like our Facebook page, facebook.com/ Sports Podcasting Network. You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.
And we're back on Soccer Today. You can follow us, of course, at 24th Minute for Dwayne on social media, at Kev Larmé for myself on Twitter. Also, this show is available for Patreons only as well, with the Two Solitude Soccer podcast and more premium podcasts available at patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. Your contributions, your support, your pledges, and your subscriptions are how we can keep the light on here on SPN, and we appreciate all that you can do for us, and we appreciate you listening to us. Also, sharing the show helps us a lot also, so you can go to Patreon and support us financially. Support us intellectually by sharing this with all your soccer friends. Dwayne, speaking of soccer friends, speaking of fun, speaking of intellectuals, the Champions League, I don't know about intellectuals, but sure, why not? It's starting back again next week. Of course, Atletico Madrid-Liverpool, a fascinating matchup in the round of 16. Dortmund-PSG, another fascinating matchup. Maybe the one that might be the most competitive one and have a lot of repercussion here in North America might be the Tottenham-Leipzig one too, which I think is amazing. But Chelsea-Bayern, Pulisic versus Davies, USA versus Canada. This one is salivating also.
Sure, a lot of interesting matchups. And, of course, a lot of people are talking about how this is the first Champions League in a while where there are no outsiders in it. This is all entirely from the big five leagues, for if you don't know, which is England, Germany, Spain, France, and who am I missing? Italy. Those are all the teams from that. There has been a lot of controversy around that, suggesting that maybe this is making things a little too uniform. The top four teams in each of the big four leagues, not counting the Ligue 1, get all their teams in, and this has created a situation where you have kind of a dull opening stage, but it does lead to matchups that are very difficult to predict. There are, when I look at these across the board, and you mentioned the four that are starting this week, or so you mentioned. Yeah. I didn't mention
Atalanta-Valencia, but yes, that one does start next week also.
Yeah, well, which is actually a very competitive matchup, yes, as well. And when you're looking at it, like, it's hard to peg any of them here. You know, Juve Lyon maybe might be your only one that you have a clear sort of favorite and underdog in. Lyon is not doing very well in Ligue 1. They're in eighth in the table right now. Only way that they're getting back in this competition next year is to win it here, and I don't think anyone thinks that's going to happen. Although Lyon look good in the group stage.
Yeah, but beating Ronaldo and Juventus in a home and away series, good luck with that.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that think that when you're looking at the European leagues right now, that it's Liverpool or nothing. That's a perception you get out there, because you look at La Liga, and Barcelona is having a nightmare of a season for them. Real Madrid started very slow, are coming around now, but they're drawn against City, which in both cases, you have two enigmas playing each other in that round. One of them will advance, one of them will have a very serious conversation with themselves, I'm sure. Liverpool is the only team that's really dominating the top, because, you know, Bayern Munich is, they're on top finally, but it's finally is the case here.
Yeah, it's
Leipzig's
tight.
They're not an established team yet in that league. PSG is a team that really is kind of hiding, because you don't really notice Ligue 1. Like, can they overcome the Ligue 1 disadvantage? There's a lot of questions, and I don't, you know, Liverpool is your clear favorite, and there's nothing else, you know, provided they don't. Liverpool to me is the clear favorite, absolutely, because they have no league title to chase. They can afford to go for the treble now, and I think that's probably what they're doing now that they got through this, through that shit. Still, silly as this sounds, if they do win the treble, they'll talk about the Shrewsbury repeat or replay as, like, that'll be like a chapter in the book. Right? So it's a strange one that Shrewsbury would be the biggest opposition to an historic treble, but yeah, nonetheless.
That's because the kids would be playing. Like, Liam Millar might have a start there. So that's,
well, they did, yeah. Like, exactly. It's that's exactly what happened.
Pep was not coaching. That tells you all about Pep. No, yeah. Jurgen Klopp
was
not
coaching.
Pep was not coaching either. No, it will start next week, of course, on Tuesday, February 18th. Next Tuesday, Atletico Madrid, Liverpool, Dortmund, PSG. What's fascinating with Dortmund, PSG, also, Dwayne, is the Neymar injury, and it's looking like last news. So maybe 10 minutes before going on air today, seems like he's not going to be ready for next week. So Dortmund, don't count out Dortmund versus PSG. Dortmund couldn't pull off a great result here versus PSG. I would not be that shocked. But yes, Bayern, Munich, Chelsea. We haven't really talked about Alphonso Davies over the last couple of weeks. Not that he has not played as well. He has continued. He's been playing lights out. He's the best left back in Germany right now, by far. And that has not stopped and is going to continue. He played amazingly last week. Man of the match for Bayern Munich in a 0-0 victory, a 0-0 result versus Leipzig. And which continues Bayern Munich's one-point lead on top of the Bundesliga, by the way, 1 point ahead of Leipzig. So I think that Chelsea-Bayern match will be interesting too. Chelsea signed a player today, the first player underneath Frank Lampard, $33 million. Forget his name right now. It's that not, like, super, like, known, so you need to be quite a geek. But Chelsea and Bayern, for me, is a great matchup, and that's on February 25th, so it's in 2 weeks, 1 week and a half. But that one, we'll have a lot of coverage here in North America. The Chelsea-Bayern will be what people talk about, especially if Alphonso Davies continues and gets a start. There's chances that he might not, because Coman is coming back from his injury. He's not training with the full team, and he might be close to being back. And if I'm looking at the situation, I wouldn't be surprised if Coman gets a start here and there, and Davies gets the league one. We'll see. So maybe in the Champions League, we can see something different. But the Chelsea-Bayern Munich matchup is very important here in North America.
For sure. I would be surprised if Davies loses his spot anytime soon. And that's not my Canadian bias coming out. I listen to a ton of media outside this country every day, and his name continues to get brought up. I heard a non-North American podcast, not even an American podcast, a European podcast the other day, say Alphonso Davies is close to becoming the best left back, not in Germany, Kevin.
In the world.
In the world.
Dwayne, if he has a 2020 the way his 2019 finish, he's going to win the Best Young Player Award, like the FIFA Best Player Award, like the Young Best Player Award.
He's in the conversation, which is absolutely absurd from a Canadian to be in that. But nonetheless, certainly, yeah, it's going to get the biggest attention for that very reason. You look at the Leipzig-Bayern game from the weekend, and you're still talking about it because Adams and Davies played. I love how my Canadian's going to come out a little bit here now. The Americans are like claiming Davies now. It's making me crazy. But anyway.
He's not American. Not because he's from Major League Soccer. No. No. He's an FC Edmonton player. Okay. Yeah. He's an FC Edmonton homegrown, stole by the Whitecaps. Okay, I'm exaggerating here.
He went on his own accord. But yes. Look, going through the matchups, I guess maybe with the minutes that are left here, we could do that. As I mentioned, Liverpool to me is your clear favorite in this competition. That said, it's a tough out in Atletico Madrid. Now, Atletico's not having a great season. They're in kind of a transition year, I would call it. But if you look at their fourth on the table, which is way below what people would have hoped going into the season, especially with Real Madrid and Barcelona having down seasons, but they still don't allow a lot. And that to me is the key to beating Liverpool in the competition. If you can defend with resolve, they do have enough vulnerabilities, Liverpool. They have shown weaknesses at times, believe it or not, this year. They've also shown tenacity beyond words. But tenacity is a word that is synonymous with Atletico Madrid under Simeone. Yeah. So
it's you can put it as Simeone's middle name. Like, it's Diego Tenacity Simeone.
Yeah. So I'm not going to do predictions, but I'm going to do a percentage here. The percentage of an upset, I say that Liverpool has a 70% chance of advancing from this tie. So I will give Atletico Madrid a 30% chance of pulling the upset, which I think is
a lot higher than what some people
might say.
I was going to say, it's a lot more. People think Atletico's dead in this. People think it's a dead rubber. I think people have Liverpool on a pedestal, which, granted, they deserve to be with the Premier League season they have. But to a point, they're still a team. And they can still be beaten. And Atletico Madrid, defensively speaking, they know how to keep the score down. So yeah, if Atletico Madrid keeps it really short on goals, if they do not concede in the first leg, I can see them pulling an upset. But yeah, I agree with you. It would be an upset, Dwayne.
Yes. All right. So moving to Dortmund PSG. Dortmund is a strong team offensively. They have a lot of capabilities there. They have some players. Sancho is looking great, like maybe one of the best young players in Europe right now. But they can't defend. And that's a problem against PSG, I would suggest. PSG, as I said, the question with them always is, can they get it done in this competition? Can they overcome the Ligue 1 disadvantage? I like how you sometimes call it Ligue 1 and I call it Ligue 1. Confusing
sure,
to me, but
I always don't know what to do, you know, because I speak in English here. Of course, I speak French also, but when it's a French word, should I say it like the French way or should I say it like the English way so English people understand that I'm trying to say a French way? It's like, should I say Kevin Laramie or should I say Kevin Laramie? It's always a question that I ask myself.
There you go. Or there's a city in Quebec called Trois-Rivières. That you call Three Rivers sometimes.
I know, but should I say Trois-Rivières or should I say Trois-Rivières or should I say Three Rivers?
No one calls it. I've never heard it called Three Rivers anywhere in the country.
Of course. There you go. So I guess if I'm speaking in French, I would say Trois-Rivières with the accent. Yeah. Trois-Rivières. Yeah. And if I'm speaking in English, I would say Trois-Rivières.
Yeah, it's like Montreal. Anyway, there you go. There's a little language lesson for the moment. I think PSG, I'm going to give them an 85% chance of winning that tie. So there you go. I don't know if you want to jump in. Or...
Sure. Atalanta-Valencia, of course, this one's hard to handicap. Two teams that are similar in their leagues. I would say 50-50 on this one.
Yeah, if you're looking for just pure competition, that's probably the one to look at. Spurs-Leipzig, that one interests me a lot because Leipzig is in uncharted territory for that club. Mm-hmm. They're a very fun team to watch. If you haven't seen them this year, put aside any baggage that you have.
And the RB.
Especially if you're not from Germany. Like, shut up if you're not from Germany, honestly.
Get off your moral high horse. Just enjoy it for what it is.
Yeah, someone posted a photo. There was a banner that said on the weekend, plug your ears if you got kids in the room. It said, fuck modern football. And then beside it, there was the whole corporate sponsor branded into the seats right beside it in Allianz. It's like, you understand. Never mind. Never mind.
Just like, walk away. Walk away.
Yeah, just don't even get into it. But
you're
they
right.
They have been a fun team to watch. Spurs has been a disaster at times. But I think Mourinho.
Like, duh. What did we say when he got hired? Like, yeah, this is going to be a telenovela live from London, and it's going to be entertainment for sure.
So I'm actually going to tip Spurs as a slight favorite because Leipzig hasn't been this deep in the competition. I do think the Premier League is stronger than Bundesliga overall. I know that can cause a debate somewhere, and I love the Bundesliga. I've been watching a lot of it this year, and I talk about it all the time on Twitter. But I'm going to give Spurs a 55-45 chance to win that tie.
Yeah, just a little bit of a heads up. All right. Those matches happen next week. We'll look at the other matches in a round of 16 next week when we preview them because they happen on February 25th for Chelsea and Bayern, of course. And that will be next week in Canada. The Champions League, of course, is on DAZN. So that's how you can watch it in Canada. In the States, I don't even know off the top of my heart. Is it on ESPN, the Champions League, this year?
That's Jonathan Tannenwald.
Yeah, exactly. Jonathan, where's the Champions League in ESPN?
I live in Canada. I don't know.
Exactly.
Well,
you know where you can watch the Champions League at this point. And hopefully you enjoy the matchup next week. Tomorrow on the show, we'll be joined by Drake Hill from Nashville to talk about the Nashville situation with the mayor, John Cooper, the Nashville Fairgrounds, the racetrack, and trades, Zimmerman, and more with Nashville tomorrow on a Nashville focus show, Hee-Haw with Drake tomorrow. And of course I say Hee-Haw and Drake doesn't even like country, so that's true. I remember that from last time he was on the show. And you can listen to us live Monday to Friday, 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific. We are available, of course, as a podcast everywhere you get your podcast: Google Play Store, Apple Podcasts, and of course Spotify and more. If our show is not available where you listen to your podcast, let us know at sportspodcastnetwork.com, sportspodcastnetwork@gmail.com also, and we will fix this situation. But until tomorrow, as always, for Dwayne Rollins, I'm Kevin Laramie. You want to hear more about Canadian soccer? Patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. But as always, until tomorrow, have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.